The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Corporate radio ownership across America have banded together
in the never-ending fight against the leftist media.
Thousands of hate talkers across the dial
is what the listening public demands.
Conservative media will always be there to crush the might of the leftist media. That is to say, all three progressive shows that remain on the air.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
And now it's time for the one woman that terrestrial right-wing radio fears
no,
the most.
No fear.
Satellite.
No fear.
It's the
no
Nicole
fear.
Sadler
no
Show.
Fear. Yeah, there's no fear there, nor do I want there to be. But the rest of it still holds up, I think. That's an old intro from a long time ago, thanks to our friend Boca Brittany Summers. Anyway, welcome to a Tuesday. Ugh. Wow, what a day. You know, I got to tell you, it's a depressing day. Our friend Jen Taub, who has been on the program before, just tweeted out, she's got the COVID. And I just heard from another friend of mine who went through breast cancer a couple of years ago. And she was afraid there was a recurrence. And sure enough, she just got the results back. And it's metastatic, and that means it's spread. And, I know too many people who are suffering from cancer right now. It seems like it's everywhere. So this cancer moonshot, I hope it's successful, number one. Number two, I'm going for a mammogram on Thursday morning, as you should if you haven't had one recently or this year. So just saying. All right. Well, hey, speaking of healthcare. Can you imagine going to a hospital, say you are, you made an appointment for a C-section because that happens fairly regularly these days, right? You make an appointment for a C-section, you go in and you figure, you know, while I'm there, I may as well have my tubes tied because I certainly don't want any more kids. And that's a reasonable way to make sure that you don't get pregnant again. Right? But you may not know if your hospital is owned by the Catholic Church. And yes, you should be scared. Be very, very scared. Because there's consolidation. Look, I know consolidation firsthand from the radio industry. It's what destroyed radio, right? But now it's in every facet of our lives. And hospitals, not only hospitals, but doctors' offices, individual practices are being sucked up and acquired by these large corporations. And some of these large corporations are owned by the church, and they impose their religious beliefs on the healthcare that they provide at their hospitals and doctors' offices and such. And you might not even know. So here in Florida, there's a group called Holy Cross. Kind of hard to not get that Holy Cross is owned by the church. And I guess by that, you should also know if you choose to go to Holy Cross Hospital that your treatment is going to come under the, ruled by the Bible? This is all to explain that this is an issue that needs to be addressed. And it's part of a larger issue in that we are so... This country was founded on the principle of separation of church and state, on the principle of religious freedom. And again, the right seems to try to appropriate everything and put their Orwellian spin on it. So they go out and they protest. They say, religious freedom! And that means their right to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us, as if theirs is the only one that matters. And I'll tell you, yesterday, I happened to, Nicole Wallace does a decent show on MSNBC. And so I was watching it last night. There were a couple of things I wanted to see. And interestingly enough, Claire McCaskill was on. Now, I had no use for Claire McCaskill when she was a senator from Missouri. But once in a while, you know, she is not beholden to anyone anymore, so she can say what she feels. And I actually found myself agreeing with her on something yesterday. I don't remember what the point was, because this offhanded remark overshadowed it all. Here's what she said.
Here's what they're banking on. Oh, that nobody cares
I should
about
set
these
it
people.
Up. They were talking about my governor. The governor of the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis, and his stunt where he basically kidnapped about 48 Venezuelans who arrived here seeking asylum and were going through the process. And he somehow coerced them into getting on one of these two private planes and flew them from Texas to Martha's Vineyard, of all places, right? So that was the what they were talking about in this instance. So now you know what the point of reference is. Okay, back to Claire McCaskill.
People, that these are less than human beings. And if you take in isolation who these people are, it is startling that someone who professes to be a Christian would treat these people this way.
Wait. That someone who professes to be a Christian would treat people this way. This is a pet peeve of mine. And Nicole Wallace, I didn't let it play through, but she's like, basically, yeah, you know, I agree. It's terrible. So this whole line of reasoning, if you can call it that, you know, a good Christian wouldn't do this. A good Christian, how did she put it again? She can't reconcile it?
What? That these are less than human beings.
Yeah.
And if you take in isolation who these people are, it is startling that someone who professes to be a Christian would treat these people this way.
Because Christians have something inherent in them that makes them good people. Isn't being a good person treating others with respect a quality of a good human? What does that have to do with being a Christian? Does that mean Jews or Muslims or Buddhists or one of any number of other religions don't have that trait of being a good, caring, empathetic human being? It is just offensive that that's the default they go to. Oh, it's, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't behave like that. Really? Because a lot of people today who call themselves Christian are using that to foist their beliefs on the rest of us. So I bring this up because of today's guest. So David, my husband, read this column the other day and he said, you got to read this. And it was a column in the Washington Post by a columnist who honestly I hadn't read before. Her name is Kate Cohen. She's the author of a few books, and she wrote a column. The title, I don't have it in front of me, but the title of it was something along the lines of, Get Your God Out of My Healthcare. Actually, that's my take on the title of it. That's not exactly what it's called. I think I have it written down here. Hold on once. Let me scroll. I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. I don't want your God in charge of my healthcare. Close. I don't want your God in charge of my health care. So we'll be joined a little later in the hour by Kate Cohen. I think you're going to like her. And it's an interesting conversation. We actually taped it earlier today. Yes, it is inappropriate to force your Christian beliefs on anyone. I'll tell you, you know, I'm not a fan of organized religion, but it's of any stripe. But there's one thing that I appreciate about the Jews. They do not proselytize. Christians do. It's the part Mormons do. I think most other religions do. Right. Get your God out of my government. Right. Believe whatever you want. That's fine. But don't put that as a standard for the rest of us. All right. We'll get into that, you know, a little later. So, you know, just be prepared for that. Yeah, she was pointing out that they are hypocrites, but why is the fact that you may or may not be a Christian the dividing line? What, between a good person and someone who isn't? Yeah, no. So hold that thought. While we're talking about bad people, there's my segue for today. Ron DeSantis. Oh my God, I told you, I need like a sounder. Your moron DeSantis moment of the day. So I just got to share a picture with you. For those of you who are not watching a video stream, but you are, listening maybe on Progressive Voices or to the audio podcast, so you're not seeing the picture, I'm about to put up a photo of the aforementioned Ron DeSantis. Let me just show it because it's cracking me up already. Ron DeSantis in his white go-go boots. I think they're galoshes. I'm not really sure, but they are. These boots are made for a walking. That's just what they'll do. He's wearing these white rubber go-go boots or something that are pulled up over his jeans. And then he's got, today, actually, he's wearing his Governor Ron DeSantis gear. But yesterday, he was wearing his campaign gear as he visited the hurricane-ravaged parts of the country. But this, he's just looking ridiculous. And hey, nice muffin top, Ron. Yeah, I don't know if he's wearing layers underneath the vest, like bulletproof layers, because he knows he's not exactly loved in these parts. But really, I'm looking at the comments in the YouTube chat room. They're just, you guys are not disappointing. But let me show you a little bit of video. Little bit of video from DeSantis visiting the devastated areas, the areas of Florida that are totally wiped out, where people are on the ground finally trying to help those who've been stranded, those who've lost everything, those who need to be rescued or just need water. So this first little clip I'm going to show you, you'll be able to hear the volunteers distraught because while they were going into homes and helping people, all of a sudden they were stopped and not allowed to do the work they were doing anymore. Why?
You guys.
Oh, why? Well, why? The reason why is because DeSantis is on the ground. And, with those boots, he stops traffic. But that's not why. But here's a little bit of this video. DeSantis derailing the rescue efforts.
Civilians were told to pause their relief operations for several hours as Governor Ron DeSantis toured the area.
Our hands are tied.
I'm not trying to be rude, we've been doing this very thing one street over, and the only reason we're not over there
is because the governor's
got. That's right.
I understand.
So why does that have to stop right now? It's the same thing we've been doing before anybody was here.
All right, we're going to head back
Governor,
over
can I ask you one question?
I'll get to you. I'm still
frustrated that they had to shut down operations because you're here. Can you just, what is your message to them? They had to pause operations, Governor, while
DeSantis
you were here.
DeSantis' thugs won't let this reporter near him.
Section news, I just want you,
that's great.
Your message is
anyone to pause anything. I think that
folks were stopped from going in back and forth. We have it on video there.
Okay, so you notice DeSantis' thugs, and they're always with him anytime he's near the press. And if, God forbid, somebody who might not be a fascist follower of the governor's tries to ask a question, that's the treatment they get. They get pushed aside. They get thrown out of the venue. They are not allowed to ask a question, which is, one good indication of a democracy, a healthy press, a healthy free press, and one good indication of an authoritarian system of government is when the press is repressed, is not allowed to ask questions. So you saw it for yourself, the volunteers saying, what the hell? We're just trying to help people. And now our work has been shut down because the governor is here. We're not able to get in and help those people who desperately need help. So then later in the day, this was yesterday, DeSantis, again goes before the press, and somebody tries to ask him about this very thing.
Yeah, it's a categorical lie. And the sheriff and the county said it's a lie. I don't know why we're worried about these silly issues when we've got people to help. I was the first one to show up in DeSoto and help those people. They were appreciative that we were there and stopping anything. They had distributed a bunch of water and food and whatnot.
They already did it. They have everything they need.
It's a total lie.
It's a total lie, and it's just dumb. Why do people listen to this man? I mean, really, just even the smarminess of his comments, and then the offensiveness of what he says, and then there's that voice. You can't not hear that voice. He's got that. And then if you marry the voice to this picture with the white boots, Terry Taylor in the chat room says, those desperate people will unfortunately vote for him again. And that's what's so depressing. Got to tell you, I saw some new polling numbers out of Florida. The governor's race wasn't part of it. And it wasn't only Florida. But what did they have? It wasn't the governor's race. It has Val Demings behind Marco Rubio, of all people. Really? There was more Marco Rubio stuff, too. I better be holding my nose. No, not yet. I can just do the Ron DeSantis voice because it's kind of high and scratchy. And he's just like that. Yeah, that's how he talks. And he says onesie, twosie. Ugh. Did anyone ask him about his charter plane service? No, because you can't get close to him to ask him those things. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to ask those questions. If you don't believe me about the voice, I'm going to play you another clip of just one of his bouts of word salad so you can hear the quality or lack thereof.
The problem is we're not seeing mass movements of them into Florida. So you end up with a car with maybe two. And if we know that that's illegal and there's someone that's kind of smuggling, then committing crime, then you can do arrest. There have been drug seizures. But that's not effective enough to stop the mass migration, but it's just coming in onesie-twosies. So we've had people on the border for last summer. We've done a lot of intelligence. And everyone down there will say between a third and 40% of the people coming across are seeking to end up in Florida. And so we have to go and figure out, okay, who are those people likely to be? And if you can do it at the source and divert to sanctuary jurisdictions, the chance they end up in Florida is much less.
Okay, that is wrong on so many levels. And if you can get past his voice to hear what he was saying, that was him making excuses for why he kidnapped these people from Texas and sent them up to Martha's Vineyard, because they're not coming to Florida. That's what he said. They're not coming here. The few that do, you know, it's in a car, onesie, twosie, and that's not enough. We can't stop the mass migration like that. So we had to go into Texas and lie to them and get them on the plane and commit a felony. Ugh, God, everything about the man is horrific. Durbin in the chat room says Ron Filipkowski said he doesn't see much hope for Stacey Abrams in Georgia or Tim Ryan in Ohio. I didn't see any polling numbers on Tim Ryan, but I'll tell you, in Georgia, Stacey Abrams is polling behind Brian Kemp by like 5 or 6 points. Herschel Walker has all of a sudden had a surge in his polling numbers and an influx of money from wealthy maggots. Yeah. In fact, Herschel Walker's fundraising has exploded since the news broke last night that he paid for the abortion for a woman who he impregnated, whose baby he did not want to raise. Now, that doesn't include the many children that he had out of wedlock that he has nothing to do with. Now, one of them actually came forward and spoke up and said, in fact, I have the whole quote here. And this is this is pretty good. He'll help me read you the whole story. All right. Herschel Walker promised, well, I didn't go back far enough. Hold on 1 second. This is, because it gets even better. Oh, and I do have the ratings here, those numbers. All right. Herschel Walker got a girlfriend pregnant. It was back in 2009. He urged her to get an abortion and then paid for the procedure. She has the receipts, literally. She has the receipt. She has the photocopy of the check that he gave her for about $700. He sent her a get well card that she had that. And so, yes, you know, sometimes they figuratively said, oh, and he brought the receipts. Well, she really did bring the receipts, although she didn't come forward. So we don't know her name. And that's understandable because these people, you know, by these people, I mean, the maggots would probably kill her. But the best part of it was the response from somebody named Christian Walker, who happens to be Herschel's son or one of his many children, who tweeted, I know my mom and I would really appreciate if my father, Herschel Walker, stopped lying and making a mockery of us. You're not a family man when you left us to bang a bunch of women, threatened to kill us, and had us move over 6 times in 6 months running from your violence. But wait, there's more. He wrote, I don't care about someone who has a bad past and takes accountability, but how dare you lie and act as though you're some, quote, moral, here's that word again, Christian, upright man. You've lived a life of destroying other people's lives. How dare you? Yeah, so this guy, Herschel Walker said he was going to file a lawsuit against the Daily Beast today. Well, we haven't seen his lawsuit yet. No. We did see Donald Trump file a suit against CNN, but oh, come on. Like, enough already. Haven't we seen this movie before? It doesn't end well. On every front, this is just all reprehensible. It's just all bad. But it is worrying that even knowing all this stuff, knowing who Herschel Walker is, knowing who Donald Trump is, the fact that Herschel Walker is within striking distance of Raphael Warnock, I mean, those two shouldn't be in the same room together, yet apparently they will be a week from Friday on the 14th, the one and only debate between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. That should be a real hoot. It just makes no sense. Again, it's opposite world in action. And, you know, I've told you, I've been threatening to do a full segment, if not a full show, on opposite world and how we're living through it. The best, the most revelatory quote that I've heard in a long time along those lines comes from the senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, who actually had the nerve, the gall, the balls, the hubris, the chutzpah to say this.
We're conservative, so we really are the live and let live party. Yeah, I really don't care what you do. I really, as long as you're not infringing on somebody else's freedom, as long as you're not harming somebody else,
really?
You go live your life, and that's fine. I'm not going to impose the way I live my life on somebody else. But that is, you're exactly right. That is what the left does, which is what is so annoying about the left. You know, it's far worse than annoying. But they've got to shove everything down your throat.
We have to shove everything down their throat? Who's the one telling me if I get raped that I have to carry the spawn of my rapist and deliver a live human being? And this rapist can actually claim parental rights. That's them shoving their ideals down my throat in case you need it spelled out for you. This is what's happening around the country. And yet, the polls are scary. Here, a Politico election forecast. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp's reelection campaign moves from toss-up to lean Republican. What? That's not okay. Wait, I thought there were other ones too. Oh, Georgia Republican Senate candidate Herschel Walker. Oh, this is not about the polling. This is that he promised he would file a lawsuit against the Daily Beast after the website's Roger Sullenberger reported that Walker paid for an ex-girlfriend's abortion in 2009. The Beast also reported that it corroborated the woman's claims with a close friend who took care of her after the procedure. And they go on to say, the explosive report could shake up Walker's closely contested race against Senator Raphael Warnock, one that has tightened to the low single digits in recent polls. This is what I don't get. The polls everywhere where the Democrats were surging have tightened. I just don't understand it. We cannot get complacent here. There's nothing more important than voting these cretins out of office. Hi, David.
Hi, darling. I would like to say something to anyone who may have their panties in a bunch because of the polls.
Yeah.
The polls were wrong in 2020.
That's true.
They were wrong in 2016. They were wrong in 2012. They were wrong in 2008.
That's true.
That is not anything to get overly upset about. Focus on the task at hand. Keep your eyes on the prize. Get your vote taken care of. Make sure that they haven't purged your name from the voting rolls. That is step number one. And then talk to other people that you know. And the ones that are reluctant or ambivalent about voting, make sure they understand what's at stake. I would not lose a whole lot of sleep over these polls.
Good advice from my husband. Thank you. It's true. And there have been stories in recent days how it might be that the Trumpers are again being underrepresented in these polls. So maybe that's why they've been adjusted. Regardless, vote as if your life depends on it, because it really does. And again, all right, I'll tell you what, we get out and vote. That's it. That's just it. That's all. Vote by mail, if you can, Thomas Garrett, where they are near you. Polls should motivate you, not stagnate you. I love my listeners. You guys in the chat room are awesome. All right. Told you earlier, we have a first-time guest coming on the show. Her name is Kate Cohen. And, you know, it's the old get your religion out of my business. Again, to Ron Johnson, who says, what did you say, Ron? I just got to hear this again, because this directly goes to that.
We're conservative, so we really are the live and let live party. You know, I really don't care what you do. I really, as long as you're not infringing on somebody else's freedom,
I need a
as long
laugh
as you're
track.
Not harming somebody else. I mean, you go live your life, and that's fine. I'm not going to impose the way I live my life on somebody else. But that is, you're exactly right. That is what the left does.
Bullshit. Oh, bullshit. Okay, so you got that. That is what I'm fighting back against here. All right. Ready? It's time for the interview. Oops, got to do this. Yeah. And do this. All right, here we go. Take it away, magic of videotape. Whoops, hold on. Why is it not working?
Kate Cohen is a columnist.
Okay, this is not going to work. This happens every once in a while. Hold on one second. I'm going to have to play it the other way. I don't know why I'm getting that weirdness, the double audio, but we did record this earlier today. Here's the edited version, and I edited it mostly because Kate's Wi-Fi kept crapping out on us. So if you're thinking, you know, when I pre-record an interview, I don't ever edit for content. I record them live. They run as if they're live. The only time I edit them is when there's a technical problem, which we had today. Okay, now there will not be a technical problem because let me turn this off. Okay, now, take two. Here we go. All right, magic of videotape. I'm thrilled to introduce our guest today. It's the first time we've met. Kate Cohen is a columnist at the Washington Post. She's the author of a few books with a brand new one on the way, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes. But the reason I reached out to Kate today was one of those Washington Post columns. In fact, her latest one, headlined, I don't want your God in charge of my health care. And I feel like I'm speaking with a kindred spirit here. Kate, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you for coming on today.
I'm really happy to be here.
You know, your column touched accord with me. And in fact, my husband, too, because he sent me, he says, you got to read this column. And yeah, you know, I have the same issue. So much of, you know, let me play a clip for you real quick. It's just a few seconds. And I heard this yesterday. It was a discussion about, I live in Florida, and the governor here has just really perverted views on everything, and his stunt sending migrants from Texas up to Martha's Vineyard. And Claire McCaskill, the former senator from Missouri, was on the air with Nicole Wallace on MSNBC yesterday. And she said this.
Here's what they're banking on, that nobody cares about these people, that these are less than human beings. And if you take in isolation who these people are, it is startling that someone who professes to be a Christian would treat these people this way.
All right. It goes on. But that's the pertinent part there. Someone who professes to be a Christian. So this seems to be the overriding mentality of so many in Washington, D.C. today, that if you're a Christian, you can't be cruel. If you're a Christian, you're above reproach. If you're really a Christian, well, what about Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and atheists? Are we not, are we not worthy of that? I think it's a human trait. If you're a good human being, you do these things. And so the same goes to your argument in this column. I don't want your God in charge of my health care. I'm really sick of religion entering into every question of morality. Should that be our goal here?
It's not just morality. It's actual public policy. You know, if it were just a question of personal morality, even if it were just a question of, I'm not going to serve you and I'm going to lose your business because my religion doesn't agree that you should be able to get married. I mean, that's bad. But here we're talking in my piece, which is about Catholic hospitals being able to deny, not being able to, having to deny care based on their rules. They have to deny certain contraceptive care. They have to deny, obviously, abortion care. There's end of life care issues that they just will not participate in certain procedures. And that is not a matter of what the doctors or the staff or the nurses there necessarily want. That is simply church doctrine.
Right.
And the problem with that is that it's not just Catholics who go to these hospitals. It's a greater and greater share of hospital patients across the country. And some markets, that's the only hospital there is. You don't have a choice.
Right. I'm in South Florida. So Holy Cross is a big hospital system down here. They have a lot of doctors under their umbrella. And with consolidation in every industry, it's hitting hospitals and healthcare too, with these bigger corporations sucking up individual practices and hospital systems. So I'm in South Florida, where Holy Cross Hospital is a big a hospital system. They buy up the smaller practices and everything. So if you're taken, say, to Holy Cross after an automobile accident or something, and there are certain, say you're pregnant and you're taken to Holy Cross and there's an issue with the fetus after this horrific, this is all made up, but a horrific car accident, they will not do the life-saving procedure if, say, an abortion is necessary to save your life. Mm-hmm. There's a disconnect there when it comes to the public health and safety, isn't there?
Absolutely. And around here, there is a large Catholic health network that is kind of swallowing up other hospitals and practices.
And you're in the Albany area in New York,
I'm
right?
In the Albany area, yes. That's why I'm in a fleece and you're in a tank top. This yes. all makes sense.
Yes, yes.
And actually, it's our local newspaper, the Albany Times-Union, that I first read about this problem because, you know, you get a little complacent, or I get a little complacent, maybe not everybody does, living in the state of New York, with all that's happened lately with the Supreme Court. We have codified reproductive rights in New York State. We've made commitments even to help people from other states get abortions if they need abortions, et cetera, right? So you sort of feel like, oh, this is terrible. I'll send money to other people. I'll vote right, but I'm safe. And it turns out that because so many of us are being served by Catholic hospitals and Catholic health practices, not just hospitals, also doctor's offices. We don't have all the freedoms that we sort of think that we do. And I find this troubling.
That's an understatement. You point out in the column, Kate, that even a patient deciding where to have a C-section, which is now a routine procedure when you're giving birth, might not know that if there's a complication, they won't do the what's necessary to save her life over the life of this fetus, right?
My point was about if she wanted to get a tubal ligation after C-section, which is saves time, saves money, saves resources, saves her personal physical pain, you know, to sort of combine those two procedures in one. It makes a lot of sense, but I guess not to God. So,
and who's God? I mean, I want to get into that in a minute.
Yes, that's a good point. But I just want to point out that you know, I write about all kinds of things, and usually it's just something that interests me, and there's a political element and a cultural element and a personal element, and it all comes together. And then there's columns that I write, and I get so much mail because it's not just a sort of a theoretical concern. I got mail from doctors who had been constrained in their care. I got mail from nurses who couldn't do what they needed to do to help patients. I got mail from patients who had to wait in pain to be transferred to a hospital that would do what they needed to do. And psychiatrists just emailed me yesterday about a problem that she had with a Catholic insurance company. So this is really affecting people's lives. It's not just theoretical.
No, it isn't. And the thing is, your timing was perfect. Well, this has been an issue for a long time and a growing issue because of the consolidation in every industry, it seems.
Right.
So more and more medical institutions that should be governed by medicine, by science, have this religious overlord, pun intended, I guess, telling them what they can and can't do. And sometimes the patients don't know because they don't tell you this up front, right? They don't.
Well, that is really shocking to me. But yes, that is quite common. And in fact, there is a bill in our legislature here about this question. Like, at least tell us, at least be clear to patients what they are not free to do or to get at our hospital. And that's, you know, stuck in committee. So we shall see.
And that's just in New York. That's not on the federal level. In fact,
Exactly.
The movement at least in the Republican Party, is to erase the line, the separation of church and state. They're so over the top. They're saying that, well, the founders, in fact, did want a state religion, which is nonsense. You know, they're rewriting the history books. They're rewriting, I guess, the Constitution, trying to tell us what is in it. So their trend is towards more religious control over our lives, and the overturning of Roe v. Wade is just another step.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. And again,
I think a lot. I mean, I wrote about this at some point. You know, a lot of that anti-abortion sentiment, comes from this religious perspective. I think, you know, especially this concept of, like, you know, that somehow babies come from God, or that, you know, the souls are out there, and then, you know, then they take on life in female bodies. You know, if you take a few steps back, it really does boil down to religion. I don't know. So and then of course a lot of other issues. Our terrible sex education in this country and our sort of regressive concept of sex. That's from religion.
Yes. We as a people. We criticize Sharia law. Well, you know, I've likened what they're doing to Christian Sharia law. What's the difference? It's still their religion taking precedence over law, over the laws of humanity, over what we do. And yet we don't all have the same belief system. Mm-hmm. And in a country that was formed on the premise of freedom of religion, this is not only offensive, It's much worse than that. And if we don't take back our right to freedom from religion and freedom of religion, you know, this whole, the quote I played at the beginning from Claire McCaskill is bigger than just this story. We hear that, and Nicole Wallace didn't push back. She's like, yeah, you know, if you're a Christian, well, I find that offensive. Right? Am I wrong?
I know exactly what you mean. It's tempting, and I know what they're doing, right? It's really tempting to sort of say, look, you call yourself this thing that's supposed to be a good thing, you know, that is used as shorthand for a good person. Right. Christian is used as shorthand for a good person, and you are being the opposite of that. So that, I mean, I get what they're doing rhetorically, but clearly, if these people are Christian and these people are doing what they're doing, then Christian is not a good thing, you know? So both things can't be true. And as you say, of course, other people are good and moral.
Right. And if you want to say you follow the teachings of Christ, that would be one thing, but many of today's Christians don't. So I've said many times, look, I'm an atheist Jew. I'm an atheist who was brought up in a Jewish, secular Jewish household. I think we have a lot in common. Yeah. And I've said many times, I'm more of a quote Christian than some of these evangelicals who are promoting Trump and doing what they do, which is not Christian behavior. It's not good human behavior. I wish we could take it out of the religious umbrella, because it has nothing to do with religion, whether you're a good person or not. And that's sort of one of the things that you've been writing about as well. Yeah. Kate Cohen is our guest. She's a columnist for the Washington Post. And we're talking about this one particular column that got my attention, which is, I don't want your God in charge of my health care. Why is religion injected into this practice of science? Of healthcare. It makes no sense unless you're in a religious-based society, which is not what we're supposed to be.
And I think we've really let this element in our society kind of run amok. I don't blame people for believing what they believe or trying to live their lives that way, but when it encroaches into, you know, my life or my education, which is another part of my article, because I was responding also to the yeshiva scandal in New York City, where the New York Times did this big expose about how poor the secular education there is, even though they receive state funding, even though the state has a constitutional provision that protects or requires all New Yorkers to get a sound basic education. So,
right. And so our public dollars are going to these parochial schools that don't teach you the basic facts. It doesn't matter what religion is. You're talking about a case of a yeshiva, a Jewish school in New York that wasn't teaching the basic facts in favor of teaching religious dogma. So it doesn't matter what religion. It's the fact that it is religion. If public dollars are going to pay for the education, they need to provide a good, solid, basic education.
Right. And at least in that case, you know, you wouldn't have members of the public accidentally going to a yeshiva and, you know, like as in a Catholic hospital and not realizing they weren't going to get what they paid for. But you do have children who deserve an education, who aren't getting a choice. You know, the state has an interest in having an educated citizenry. I mean, that's just... that's sort of basic. So it's kind of surprising, even in a blue state like mine, how much religion still holds sway. Vaccine exemptions are another good example. Or exemptions to the various provisions put into effect during the pandemic or during the lockdown, where, you know, people could still gather in churches. Mm-hmm. You know, mask exemptions, all kinds of things like that, where public health was at stake.
And no science to back up these exemptions. I mean, a religious exemption to a vaccine? What?
No, it's a right.
Right.
No science. And I'm afraid no doctrine either. I mean, if you want to go there, I don't think that there were a lot of very clear places that people could point to where this made any sense. But so as I said in my piece, I live in New York, but I also live in the Commonwealth of Religious Deference, and we all do, kind of. And so that's part of why I'm writing the book I'm writing, which is called We of Little Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about why I think it's important for people who don't believe in God, and I think there's a lot of those.
There are.
to be more forthcoming about it and to be honest with themselves and with their families and hopefully with you know, their public their public servants, their, you know, their elected officials, their constituency, if they are elected officials, etc. Because I feel like there's this assumption, as you said, that, you know, Christians are good, that believing in God is a sort of a moral you know, baseline that everybody needs to. And I think that's contributing to our tolerance or the way that we have been and we are now increasingly being treated by a very specific wing of, you know, right-wing Christianity.
You know, so Kate, I gotta thank you for encouraging people to be more forthcoming with their beliefs. I believe that my beliefs are logical. You know, show me proof of some all-powerful being up in the sky and the heavens, then we can talk. But I believe in science over religion. You would appreciate, I got to, you know, I'm in Florida. Charlie Crist is our Democratic nominee for governor. And I did an interview with him a few months ago. And he kept in with this, you know, God bless and God this and God. And finally, I said, you know, just another way to look at things. Maybe back off of the God stuff, because not all of us are believers. And and he seemed to take what I said. And at the end, he said, I wish I could remember the exact quote. I'll pull it for when this airs. But at the end, he started to say, God bless. He's like, universe bless or something. It was like, okay, thank you for listening. He didn't belittle what I said and he listened to me. And I think we all need to do that more. Call them on if you're a good Christian. Well, what if I'm a Jew or an atheist or a Muslim or a Buddhist?
Right. Yeah. So no, I agree. And that you give me a good idea for my book. I'll have a little appendix and I'll have like words for politicians to say instead of.
I will find that clip and send it to you because I know you'll enjoy it. Kate Cohen, yes. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this book. I know you're a parent and dealing with raising kids without the dogma of religion. I went through it too. My daughter is now 23 and she's questioning a lot of things, which is good. You know, I told her, look, I was raised Jewish, but in a secular Jewish household. So it's traditions and traditions are lovely, but don't let them get in the way of you believing in the power of fact and science and what's real and tangible and doing good for society. I mean, they're mutually exclusive. One does not have to go hand in hand with another. You don't have to be a religious person to be good. And I might also say that sometimes religion is a bit overbearing and it sticks its nose into places where it doesn't belong, like our healthcare. So
agreed.
Kate Cohen, I've so enjoyed talking with you. I know we had a few technical problems, but I look forward to the book. When is it coming out? I know you're handing in the final draft this week, right?
Friday. It's coming out in a year. It'll be a year. I will let you know and I'll come and talk about it. And now I'm going to go finish it.
Cool. And hopefully we'll talk in between because now I'm subscribed to your column at the Washington Post. So I'll get an alert when you put up a new one.
Everybody should do that. And follow me on Twitter.
Yep. I'll put a link to this latest column. I don't want your God in charge of my healthcare. And there will be a link so you can subscribe there. Kate, it was a pleasure to meet you. So nice. And I look forward to talking again as we move forward through this increasingly religious centered society. We need to turn the other cheek, as it were.
Agreed.
Thank you, Kate.
It was a pleasure.
For me, too. There you go. Kate Cohen, how refreshing. And her column is wonderful. And then you can go back and read her past columns at the Washington Post. And this is what she writes about a lot. So I did go back through the archives to find my interview with Charlie Crist. The whole thing is available. I'm not going to play the whole thing for you. What I did was I pulled out a few of the clips in which he referenced God or God bless or whatever, and then finally, when I called him on it, it's a 2-minute clip. So here it goes.
It's the only reason I'm alive is access to the Affordable Care Act because I'm a lung cancer survivor, and as an independent radio host, I was unable to buy insurance on the open market. So there's that.
God bless you for that. Yes.
God bless you for that.
It's far from perfect.
It's that important.
Here's another one.
And sometimes people who don't have empathy or compassion don't have that chip. They just don't get it. But I do have that chip, and in abundance, I hope, and I believe I do. I care about people, and I want them to have good lives and a good quality of life and good health care during their life and not have it be so expensive that they go bankrupt or whatever. This is what we need in a leader, in my humble opinion. We need somebody who truly cares about people. Men, women, children, black, white, gay, straight, you know, short, tall. You know, we're all, as I said earlier, children of God. So,
children
of
God.
He
said that another time in the interview.
They have greater compassion and greater understanding. And, you know, there's somebody that is to judge. It's not me. It's not you. It's somebody else. And I think the right thing to do is to honor all people, as I said earlier. Doesn't matter if they're gay or straight, black or white, short
I
or
agree.
Tall.
Believer or atheist.
That's right.
Let me throw that out there because you made a few references to God, and I'm actually one of those people who's not. I don't have organized religion in my life, and I believe in the power of the universe, but I don't believe in a God. So, you know, these are the things. I think that there needs to be greater separation between church and state. And so your references to God all the time, I love that that's your belief and your conviction, but just know that not everybody in Florida has those beliefs.
which is very fair, and you are right.
Charlie Crist, thank you so much. I hope we can do this again. I really appreciate your time and your answers.
You're great, man. Oh. You're wonderful. You do a great job. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. You take care.
Universe bless you.
Universe bless you.
Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye. You see, that's what I was talking about. So when he started in with, you know, there's one judge out there. It's not for me. It's not you. There's a one thing, the opinion that matters. Whoa. Okay. That was a bridge too far for me. And I just couldn't hold my tongue anymore. I had to say it. And he listened, and he said universe. He said God bless you, and then he said universe bless you. Good on him. Now let me tell you one other thing that happened during that interview. And if you listen to the show a lot, you know one of my pet peeves are campaign websites that do not list the candidate's stance on the issues. And what I've discovered after reviewing many of these websites is that the progressives are proud of their positions on the issues, and they gladly display them on the websites. It's the ones who have something to hide, who are not necessarily progressive, who don't want to tell you where they stand on the issues, that don't have them up there. So at the time when I interviewed Charlie Crist, there was nothing about the issues on his website. And I mentioned it to him, along with my theory that the progressives are the ones who do put it on there. And he said, you know, that's a really good point. We'll get on that. And sure enough, if you go to Charlie Crist's website, which I believe is charliecrist.com. Hold on. charliecrist.com. Yep. The first thing is defeat Ron DeSantis. Yes. And then I'm fighting for Florida and give me money. Okay. But there is a tab that says issues. And sure enough, you go there and there he is defending reproductive freedom. Voting is a right. Clean water for all. Office for new Floridians. Justice for all. Crist action plan for Florida seniors. Affordable Florida for all plan. Crist's million solar roofs plan, which I got to tell you, that's huge because here in the Sunshine State, we do not have solar power. I mean, there are a few scattered homes you see with the panels up, but it's there's no widespread program. Our electric company is rather corrupt, Florida Power and Light. Perhaps you've heard of them. So anyway, safer Florida for all, accessibility for all, Wall Street housing crackdown, freedom to learn. I mean, it goes on and on. Equality for all, Black voters for Crist, entertainment Florida, take back your power, veterans for Crist. So at least he's giving his stance on the issues. So again, you know, while Charlie Crist wouldn't have been my first choice, I couldn't tell you who it would be because we don't necessarily have a very deep Democratic bench here in Florida. He is certainly, you know, well, let me put it this way. You know, we're going to be moving one way or another in December, by December 1st. So a lot comes down to November 8th. If Charlie Crist wins, there's a chance we could stay in Florida. If Carrie Lake wins in Arizona, no shot in hell. I'm moving there. So it's up to the people, really. Get out and vote and determine where I live. Katie Hobbs as governor of Arizona? I'm good with that. I'll take it. Charlie Crist as governor of Florida? I'm good with that. I'll take it. But, DeSantis and Carrie Lake can go jump in a lake. So I'm all filled with these cliches today. I don't know where they're coming from. All right. Well, that's that. That's another show in the, we can stick a fork in it. Let's see. Tomorrow I'm going to be speaking with an author. His name is Ed Bermilia, and he's got a new book out called The Chaotic Neutral. And it's about how the Democratic Party screwed up by moving to the center. Neutral is not a position for anyone to take. So we'll talk about that and other things. All right. By the way, they have rescheduled, I think, the January 6th hearing. It will be 1 week from Thursday, the 13th of October.
So we got that to look forward to. So you can start getting the popcorn ready. All right, with that, we're done. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you for hanging. Please support my work if you can. We are listener supported. Go to NicoleSandler.com and click on the donate button or purchase one of my lovely pieces of artwork. I will paint your pet for you. Lots of ways to support the show. All right. Thank you, everybody. With that, we're done. And I will I'll leave you with the news. All right, because we can. All right. Until tomorrow. See ya. Bye. Here's the news.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The trial of five alleged members of the Oath Keepers, that's the far-right militia accused of plotting to attack the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, began on Monday. They're being tried for seditious conspiracy in the most significant case yet from the Capitol attack. In opening statements, the Justice Department said the defendants sought to, quote, stop by any means necessary the lawful transfer of presidential power to Joe Biden, quote, including taking up arms against the United States government. Assistant U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Nessler said in opening statements, quote, they concocted a plan for an armed rebellion to shatter a bedrock of American democracy. He also said that the Yale Law educated leader of the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, acted like a general as he watched his troops enter the Capitol, and that the group stockpiled weapons near Washington, D.C. They also played a recording of Rhodes saying that his only regret about January 6th was that they, quote, should have brought rifles. On the other side, the defense lawyer for the Oath Keepers said that the jurors will see evidence that the defendants had, quote, no part in the bulk of the violence that occurred on January 6th. All five members have pleaded not guilty to the charge of seditious conspiracy. That's a charge rarely brought by the Justice Department. It carries a maximum punishment of 20 years in prison. And we've now learned the possible, probable date for the rescheduled January 6th House Select Committee hearing that was postponed last week. It's tentatively scheduled for a week from Friday. That'll be October 14th. Turning to disaster news, President Biden visited Puerto Rico on Monday to survey damage from Hurricane Fiona, as tens of thousands of people remain without power 2 weeks later. Biden promised to, quote, rebuild it all. He said, I'm committed to this island. Fiona briefly knocked out power to the entire island 5 years after the more powerful Hurricane Maria completely devastated Puerto Rico. Biden announced that his administration will provide $60 million from last year's bipartisan infrastructure law to improve the levees and flood walls and develop a flood warning system in Puerto Rico. Interestingly enough, Biden did not throw a single roll of paper towels to Puerto Ricans needing help, nor did he convene a meeting of people who should be on the ground working to gather around a table and praise him on his handling of the storm. Just saying. On Wednesday, Biden will visit Florida, which was struck by Hurricane Ian last week. The state's death toll, according to CNN, has risen to at least 101. Meanwhile, here in Ian-ravaged Florida, the governor knows his priorities when he sees them. DeSantis wore campaign gear over the weekend at visits inspecting the damage the hurricane left behind and falsely claimed that the storm's ground zero, Lee County, was, quote, not even in the cone 3 days out, when he was pressed on why the county didn't issue a mandatory evacuation earlier. By the way, yes, it was in the cone of uncertainty. The Supreme Court kicked off its new term on Monday. They declined to hear two cases challenging a ban on bump stocks. Those are the attachments that allow semi-automatic firearms to shoot continuously like fully automatic weapons. ATF banned bump stocks in 2019, following the 2017 mass shooting in Las Vegas. Gun rights advocates who sought to reverse the ban said the ATF overstepped in its authority and distorted the definition of a machine gun. Two separate appellate courts disagreed and upheld the ban. And now, again, the Supreme Court will not hear a challenge to the decision. But today, the Supreme Court holds oral arguments in Merrill versus Milligan. That's a landmark case about redistricting in Alabama that could severely weaken Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. That's the section that protects voters from discrimination in district maps and voting laws. In 2021, Alabama drew a congressional map with only one district where black voters could elect the candidate of their choice. Earlier this year, a federal court struck down the map after finding it diluted the voting strength of black Alabamians. But Alabama appealed the decision to the Supreme Court, which brings us to today. So the court has the opportunity to revisit Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and could render it powerless in protecting minority voters from discriminatory maps. Needless to say, this case will have huge ramifications for the future of our democracy. Stay tuned. Turning to Ukraine, Ukrainian forces continue to push into Ukrainian territory formerly occupied by Russia on Monday, expanding their counteroffensive in the east and pushing back on Russian defenses in the southern Kherson region. That's one of the four areas that Russia has been trying to illegally annex. Ukraine's gains were so clear that a Russian Defense Ministry spokesman actually acknowledged that, quote, "The enemy managed to forge deep into our defenses using, quote, numerically superior tank units." But he did say that Russian troops inflicted major losses in return. So Russia withdrew from the former stronghold of Lyman in eastern Ukraine's Donetsk region, also targeted by Moscow for annexation, and it prompted rare ridicule of the Kremlin's war effort by two powerful allies of Vladimir Putin. What a shame. Need another reason to vote against Dr. Oz? How about cruelty to animals? A new report from Jezebel shows that his scientific experiments at Columbia University killed over 300 dogs. Between 1989 and 2010, Mehmet Oz was a, quote, principal investigator for 75 studies that resulted in the suffering and deaths of dogs, pigs, calves, rabbits, and small rodents. And then there's the big scoop from the Daily Beast, who reported that anti-choice Senate candidate Herschel Walker impregnated a girlfriend in 2009, urged her to get an abortion, and then reimbursed her for the procedure. Herschel Walker has likened abortion to murder, claiming that there should be no exception for rape, incest, or even the life of the mother. Walker's denied any knowledge of past partners getting abortions and said he will sue the Daily Beast over what he called this, quote, flat-out lie. But the unidentified woman provided the reporter with a receipt for the procedure, a get-well card signed by Walker, and an image of a personal check signed by Walker for $700. Daily Beast reported also that it corroborated the woman's claims with a close friend who took care of her after the procedure. And then Walker's 23-year-old son, who happens to be a conservative TikTok influencer named Christian Walker, tweeted, quote, "I know my mom and I would really appreciate if my father, Herschel Walker, stopped lying and making a mockery of us. You're not a family man when you left us to bang a bunch of women, threatened to kill us, and had us move over 6 times in 6 months running from your violence." But wait, there's more. He continued, "I don't care about someone who has a bad past and takes accountability, but how dare you lie and act as though you're some, quote, moral Christian upright man? You've lived a life of destroying other people's lives. How dare you?" As you'd expect, Senator Raphael Warnock took the high road in response. In a gaggle after an event in Atlanta Monday night, Warnock said, "I'll let the pundits decide how they think it will impact the race. But I've been consistent in my view that a patient's room is too narrow and cramped for space for a woman and the government. My view on that has not changed." Warnock and Walker are scheduled to meet for their only debate a week from Friday, October 14th, in Savannah, Georgia. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.